بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. When we look around the masjid, especially on a day like today, we find different people, different ages, different skin colors, from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, people who speak different languages perhaps, with different tastes, different likes, different dislikes, with various levels of education, different lines of work, and even different understandings of our faith. Most of us don't have the same parents, the same relatives, the same blood relations. So at the outset, when you think about it, we actually have a lot that is different between each of us. Yet, what we do all have in common, and the main reason why we are here today, is because of our iman. The belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And simply by virtue of that, simply by virtue of that iman, that belief that exists in our hearts, that we express through our tongues, we become brothers and sisters. So never mind of all the differences that I mentioned, this one thing, iman, is so powerful. This one thing that we have in common is so powerful that it should enable us to reach over all of our differences. So if our differences are like little blocks in between all of us, the power of the iman should be such that it enables us to reach over all of those little blocks or things in between and take us to a level where all have a common love, where we all have a common understanding, where we all have a common belief, and that is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna man mu'minuna ikhwa," that really the believers, right, the believing men, but of course the believing women as well, they're all brothers, they're all sisters. And this is something we all know, so this is a reminder for myself and for all of us. But this is something we have heard, this is something we understand. But it should not just be lip service. It should not just be something that we say, that we know, but that's about it. But rather, it should translate into our interactions with one another. It should translate into something concrete when we interact with one another. Especially when a difference arises or tries to come in the way of the brotherly and sisterly relationships between Muslim brothers and Muslim sisters. Muslim brothers and Muslim sisters. Sometimes we have disagreements. Sometimes we have disagreements, and this is normal. This is part of the human experience. This is part of the human experience. There's no human being that ever lived in this world that never had a disagreement with someone else. Right? Or that never disagreed about something. Or that didn't like something that someone did or said. So these disagreements are perfectly normal. It's part of the human experience. But at times, they lead to rifts between individuals. Sometimes they send people apart. And sometimes, not just for days or weeks, but even for months, even years. And many times this happens between family members as well. Right? We don't have to look too far. Many times we look just around us and we find, whether in our families or in the families of people we know, that people have had disagreements and disputes and they haven't spoken to each other for years. They haven't communicated, they haven't said salam, they have avoided each other, they haven't been in the same gathering, they've been complete strangers even though they're relatives and are related through their blood. This is a serious matter. This is a serious matter with serious consequences. And not just if it's between family members, but rather whenever it happens between to believers. This is a serious matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. So fear Allah and adjust all matters of differences amongst yourselves. Fear Allah and adjust, right? Figure out. Patch up all these matters of differences among you. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And obey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are believers. So the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam has also given many warnings regarding this, regarding the relationship between believers. First of all, to have such rifts, right? To have such rifts that take people away, that take two individuals away for an extended period of time, this is not something which is befitting of a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La tabaghadu wa la tahasadu wa la tadabaru wa kunu 'ibadallahi ikhwana." Right? Do not harbor grudge against one another. Do not harbor grudges against one another, nor jealousy, nor enmity, and do not show your backs to one another, and become as fellow brothers and slaves of Allah. So do not harbor grudge against one another, right? La tabaghadu. Don't say or do anything which is likely to create ill will and hatred in others. Right? So be careful about what you say and do. Don't say or do something which would have the potential to create ill will and hatred in others. وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا. And nor jealousy, right? Don't be jealous of one another. So if another Muslim is granted any blessing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not wish that that person becomes deprived of that blessing. Right? Don't wish that that person becomes deprived of that blessing. And do not show your backs to one another. Do not show your backs to one another. Meaning if you come across one another, exchange salutations. Say salam to each other. Rather than avoiding each other and turning your back as soon as you see someone that you don't get along with. So these are very clear commands from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we all understand the seriousness of shedding blood, of murder. We all know that. And most of us, all of us, I hope, would never think of doing such a thing. We know how serious it is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Man hajara akhahu sanatan fahuwa kasafki dami." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever forsakes his brother for a year, it is as if he has shed his blood." Whoever forsakes his brother for a year, it is as if he has shed his blood. This underlines the seriousness of this. Many times, I hope our hatred is not so much that we would think of even, you know, going to that extent. Yet even avoiding someone and not reaching out to them, not saying salam, right? Not trying to patch things up. If we do that for a year, the Prophet ﷺ says, it is as if we have shed that person's blood. So this is very, very serious. Not only is it prohibited, right? So not only is holding grudges for extended periods of time prohibited, it can also have a very severe negative impact on ourselves. Forget about the relationships. Forget about the relationships with the relatives, right? And our relations with other people and so on. Forget about all of that for a second, right? Holding grudges against one another also has the potential to affect the forgiveness of our sins. It has the potential to affect the forgiveness of our sins. The Prophet ﷺ has said, "The gates of Jannah are opened on Monday and Thursday. And everyone who does not associate anything with Allah is forgiven. إِلَّا رَجُلًا كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنًا." Except a person. Except a man who has had an argument with his brother. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the gates of paradise, of Jannah, are open on Monday and Thursday. And everyone who does not do any shirk is forgiven except a man who has had an argument with his brother. It is said, فَيُقَالْ أَنْظِرُوا هَذَيْنِ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحَا. That wait for these two until they reconcile. Wait for these two until they reconcile. The command is given three times. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says that it means that wait for these two. This means that until they have reconciled and love has been restored between them. So this hadith indicates to us that the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may in fact be held back. May in fact be held back from us as long as we have not reconciled and restored our relationships with our brothers or our sisters. So really, are we willing to put our forgiveness at risk? Are we willing to put ourselves at that much risk for the grudges that we hold? And sometimes they're very minor things. Somebody said something, we didn't like it, we said something back, they said something back, and then it spiraled out of control. We played a joke on someone, they didn't like it, they got offended, they came back and did something a bit more severe, right? We got offended, and then it went down. Or it was a dispute over money and inheritance or this and that, right? And it became into a full-blown disagreement, and we haven't spoken to each other for so many years. So really, are all these things really worth it? Are they worth putting our forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at risk? This is something to think about. So now, let's say you've decided that, okay, you're thinking about the people you haven't met, people you've had issues with, and you say, okay, I need to fix things up. I need to patch things up. And you're a little bit nervous about it, right? Because you haven't spoken in such a long time. You haven't had any communication. The last time you met one another at a party or at a function, it didn't go well. There was a bit of a commotion. So you're worried about what sort of response you're going to get. Right? So if you're in that situation, then take a listen of this hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible for a believer to forsake his Muslim brother for more than 3 days. Right? That's the maximum. It is not permissible for a Muslim, for a believer to forsake his brother or a sister for more than 3 days. That's the maximum. If 3 days have passed, this is what you should do. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if 3 days have passed, he should meet him and greet him. Okay? You should make the effort to meet the other person, to greet the other person. And if the other responds to it, they will both share in the reward. Okay, so you initiate the action, that person also responds positively, you both get rewarded for it. Okay, it doesn't go without reward. But if that person does not respond, this is what you're worried about, right? That I'll try to reach out to the other person, but I don't know how they're going to respond, they may not want to, establish a relationship or communication again. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if he does not respond, he will bear his sin. He will bear his sin. That will be his problem. And the one who has taken the initiative, the person who has taken the step, who has come forward to greet the other, will be absolved of the sin for forsaking one's brother in faith. That person who takes the first step will be absolved of the sin of forsaking his brother in faith. Right. So you think back about all the people you haven't been able to touch base with because of an issue that came up. This is your opportunity. If it's been more than 3 days, or even if it's been less than 3 days, but especially if it has been more than 3 days, which is the allowable maximum limit, then this is a wonderful opportunity to reach out. Reach out, make the first call, write the first email, write the first letter, go ring the doorbell, say assalamu alaikum. If you get the phone being slammed, right? If you get the door being shut in your face, then you have done your job. And whatever happens then is the responsibility of the other person. Right? And whatever sins you might have received, you might have gotten for not establishing communication for all this time and relationship for all this time, inshallah that will be forgiven by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you took steps to rectify the situation. You took a positive step to try to reestablish that relationship and that communication that you should have. So after 3 days, the one taking the initiative in giving salam is more superior than the other person. So if you really want to win that argument, right? If you really want to win that argument that you never came to a resolution regarding, then you go and make that salam. And you will be the one who is more superior than the other person. This is for our own relationships. Now let's say you come to know. You become aware that you have a relative, you have a friend, or there are people in the community, whatever the case may be, right, who are not speaking to one another, who are not saying salam to one another. They are avoiding one another, they have grudges against one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So the believers are nothing else than brothers in faith. So make reconciliation between your brothers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about the great virtue. About the great virtue of being the intermediary that brings people together. Right? A lot of times, what do we end up doing? We end up being the one who causes the problem. We end up being the one who causes the rifts. We end up being the one who spreads a bad word from here and there, and that creates problems and enmity and hatred between people. No, that is not our role. Our role is what the Prophet ﷺ tells us. This is what it should be. Prophet ﷺ says, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَفْضَلَ مِنْ دَرَجَةِ الصِّيَامِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ. That should I not tell you? Something that is better than the status of the voluntary fasting, the voluntary prayer, and charity. Right? Prophet ﷺ asked his companions, radiallahu anhum, that should I not tell you? Shall I not tell you something that is better than the status of voluntary fasting, charity, and prayer? He said, Bala ya Rasulullah. Right? He said, sure, yes. So he said, صَلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ, reconciling in the case of discord. فَإِنَّ فَسَادَ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ هِيَ الْحَالِقَ. For the evil of discord is a shaver. Is a shaver. And what does it mean? Not that it shaves hair, of course, but that it shaves religious commitment. It shaves away blessings. It shaves away rewards. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ telling us that to act as an intermediary, to bring people together when there has been some discord, some disagreement, some problem, it is more virtuous. It is more virtuous than the status of offering voluntary prayer, of giving voluntary sadaqah. More virtuous than the status of giving voluntary charity. So there's extreme amount of great virtue and blessing in doing that. And it is in fact so noble of an act. Right? And this may come as a surprise, and sometimes it's surprising to people when they hear this, that it's so noble of an act to help try bring people together, that the Prophet ﷺ has permitted twisting the truth a little bit in a positive way in order to achieve this great purpose. Okay, so if you have the intention of bringing people together, of finishing some discord or a disagreement that has happened, it is permissible to tell each party that the other has said good things about them and praise them, so as to encourage reconciliation, to encourage people to come together. And this does not come under telling lies, which is of course prohibited. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and in hadith is related by Imam Bukhari, لَيْسَ الْكَذَّابُ الَّذِي يُصْلِحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فَيَنْمِي خَيْرًا أَوْ يَقُولُ خَيْرًا. That the person, he is not a liar, he who seeks to reconcile between people and says good things. Right? So if you're trying to bring people together and you put in a good word here and there, you're stretching it a little bit, you're twisting the truth slightly, but in a positive way with the intention of bringing people together, this does not come under the category of lying, the type of lying which is impermissible and which is haram. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he wrote to one of his governors, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, and he said regarding the litigants, so people who would come to court, right, to get their disputes resolved, he told him that set them back. Send them back until they settle. Aim for an out-of-court resolution. Right? An out-of-court settlement. So send them back until they settle, because the separation, the rift, which is caused by being in court and fighting their cases, will leave behind grudges for a long time. They will inherit grudges from that, and it will not be conducive to bringing them together. So they would encourage people to go back, figure it out, come up with a resolution, an out-of-court settlement, and that will be better for you. Otherwise, if you actually end up going to court and presenting your case in front of a judge, then the rift that will create, right? Because it's one party against the other. You're saying something, the others are countering back and forth. So the taste that will leave behind, it will sow the seeds of grudges, and it will not be conducive to to coming together. So this is an opportunity for us to think about our relationships. Right? So think about all of our relatives, our friends, people in the community, others, who we may have forgotten. And we may have forgotten them in a state of anger, or in a state in which we were holding a grudge against them. We have something against them, right? Whether it was something they did, something they said that we didn't like. Is it worth? Are all of those grudges worth the cost? The potential cost, which is not receiving forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cost is not receiving forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the forgiveness of Allah is held back. It waits. It's on hold until these things are figured out. So is it really worth that cost? That's a very steep cost. It's very expensive, right? For the grudges that we have and disputes that we have in this life. Right? Ramadan is coming up. Right? We're less than 2 months away from the month of Ramadan. I hope you're not thinking about all the groceries you need to do for Ramadan, right? Because there's a lot more to think about than groceries when we think about Ramadan, right? And these are the types of things we need to think about and to start planning again, right? That if you're going to be seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, yet our affairs among ourselves are not sorted out, they're not ironed out. What if, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, what if during Ramadan we do all these good deeds, right, with the expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the expectation of forgiveness? We stand in prayer, right, Taraweeh, Qiyam, everything, right? We are fasting, we are giving our zakat in Ramadan, right? We are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are crying, yet there are things which are holding up our dua. There are things which are acting as roadblocks between us and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would be extremely unfortunate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, really. Right? So things like this, these discords and grudges and you know, issues we have with one another, this could be a potential issue. Another factor which goes into the, which can affect the acceptance of dua, our food and our income. Is it coming from a halal source or is it coming from a haram source? Right? There's a famous hadith that I mentioned before, the Prophet ﷺ talking about a person who seems very deserving of having his du'as accepted. You know, with clothes that are tattered and, you know, his hair is disheveled and, you know, he seems very worthy. But the Prophet ﷺ says, and he raises his hand and he makes du'a, but how can Allah accept his du'a when his food is haram, his clothing is haram, everything that he is wearing, that he's consuming, is coming from a prohibited source? How is that possible? Right? So these are the things we need to think about as we come closer to Ramadan. So really, is it worth the cost, the potential cost, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can we try to make things better? Right? How can we try to improve the situation? At least reach out and say salam. Let's put our egos aside. Right? Put our pride and our egos aside. What can we do to make that initial step? If it works out and we reconcile, alhamdulillah. That's wonderful. But if you reach out and the person doesn't respond positively, that's alright, because we did our part. We tried our best, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us then for our misdeeds in letting this issue prolong. Take off that burden. Right? Take off that burden from yourselves. Why should you be responsible for that? Right? Go out, say salam. Send an email, try to reconcile. If a person doesn't respond, you've done your part. And finally, if you know of people who are going through such circumstances, if you know about brothers in the community, in your family, among your friends, brothers, sisters, whoever, right, who have issues with one another, who are not talking to one another, who are avoiding one another, who have grudges with one another, think about how can we come together to help them. How can you, in your individual capacity, try to bring them together? Because there is a great reward. There is a great reward for doing so, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our misdeeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us together as brothers and sisters, as true brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away all types of discord and grudges and enmity that we have, that we may have with one another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.